Were they following on the screen when I was reading? Okay. Were there any differences? Yeah. We have the old CC here I was reading from. So many of these verses are untranslated. I think we got them translated near the end. There's so many different things. Anyway, the main idea is they're the same thing as there. So, I've been contemplating this class for a while. First, Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gadave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, I've been thinking about this class, and as I read these two verses a while back, I was thinking, what am I ever going to say about what's in these purports here? I mean, I don't know Bengal, you know, and this is some very detailed information about Lord Chaitanya's travels there. So I went and read the whole chapter up to this point to get a context of what's going on. And that's what I more or less like to speak about, not exactly this point of visiting this place, that place, this place, that place, but what's happening here in this chapter. So the chapter is entitled The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan. And that alone is indicative of a certain transcendental phenomenon. How could it be that the Lord only attempted to go to Vrindavan? Who can stop the Lord from doing anything? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so it is, if you recall, this chapter is all about Lord Chaitanya's desire to go to Vrindavan, and how he couldn't go to Vrindavan for various reasons. Now, the first thing that's happening is that he asked permission to go to Vrindavan. He's situated in Jagannath Puri. And his closest associates there, Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, others. But he asked them, and they don't want him to go. You know, the very idea of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is terrifying for them. So they said, it's not a good time to go. You should go a little later, you know, when the weather is better or something. And then when that happens, he says, oh, this is not an auspicious time to go, better to go. And in this way, they stop him from going, because he really feels he needs the permission from his intimate devotees to go. And as far as I can tell, this happened for 2 years. He was asking, can I have permission? And they would always find some way, no, there's some holiday coming, wait till then, and it's not auspicious, the weather's not so good, it's too rainy. So that in itself is a very sweet pastime. The fact that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bound by the love of his intimate devotees so much that he's surrendering to them their desire to stay with him and be with him there. So eventually, Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma realize this is not very good. You know, we're playing tricks on Lord Chaitanya. And so they actually advise him when he's going to go, and they promise him he's actually going at a certain time. Now, the trauma of separation is described in various ways, what the different devotees in Puri were feeling. But the Lord is also realizing he's going towards so many other devotees who were there in Navadvipa. And it's described there. And I wanted to cite two verses that are not exactly from this chapter, but they kind of illustrate the general theme of what's happening here, which is that this intense love of Krishna, which Lord Chaitanya came to bring everyone, and which is also directed toward him, is the force that's moving everything here. First of all, Lord Chaitanya wants to go to Vrindavan. He wants to be, and when we finally read his trip to Vrindavan, there's so much nectar there. I was reading recently how he went to Vrindavan and he encountered those two parrots. You remember the male and female parrot? And then they have a Shuk and Shari. And they have an argument. Who's enchanting whom? Is Radharani really enchanting and bewildering Krishna? Or is Krishna enchanting everybody and just Radharani is also enchanting? And so the Shuka immediately says, what is it? Saundaryam lila stambani viryam kandukitadi vayam amalakpare shikuraram guna shilam savadananda nandanam holyasyayam asmat prabhu vishwam vishwadani nikirta devatat krishna ujigat mohana. That my Lord's beauty and his lila are astounding the goddess of fortune. He's so strong that he takes the Govardhan Hill and makes it into a little ball for playing. His character and his qualities delight everybody in the universe. In this way, my Lord is Jaganmohani. He enchants everybody, including the gopis and Radharani. The whole universe is enchanted by him. And then the Shari says, Shiradikaya Priyata Surupita Sushilata Anartana Gana Chaturi Kunari Sambhatan Kapitata Rajati Jaganmano Mohinda Chitta Mohini. Srimati Shiradikaya Priyata Surupita. The first attraction that she has for Krishna is her intense love, Priyata, and her form, her exquisite form, Surupita, Sushilata, her behavior, her character, Nartana Gana Chaturi, her expertise in singing and dancing. Gunali Sampat, she is a veritable treasure chest of wonderful qualities. Kavita Charajati, and her poetic ability shines forth brilliantly. In this way, she is Jaganmano Mohana Chitta Mohini. She's enchanting the mind of him who enchants the mind of everyone else in the universe. So they argue back and forth, and of course, obviously, Shari wins, and Radharani is enchanting Krishna. So this is just a little taste of his experience in Vrindavan. And if you remember reading that chapter, how one, you know, he went up to every forest, he was embracing Govardhan Hill, and so many wonderful things happened there. So, but before that happens, he has to try to go to Vrindavan, and he's bound by this love of his devotees. So I wanted to, this verse was, Pushkar Prabhu reminded me of this verse that I memorized many years ago, but it just fell away from my memory. And this illustrates the central theme of this Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is that anarpita charim chara karunayavatirna kalo, that what Lord Chaitanya came to give, what Krishna came to give in the form of Lord Chaitanya, had never been given before, or not for a long, long time, since the last day of Brahma. And that is the highest levels and most intense levels of love for himself. And so this verse, which is the beginning of chapter 23, illustrates that. Chidara daptam, nijagupta vittam, swaprema nama matyamatyodara, apamanam yo vidadara goro, krishno janebhyas tamaham prapadye. The most munificent supreme personality of Godhead, known as Gora Krishna, distributed to everyone, even the lowest of persons, his own confidential treasury in the form of the nectar of love of himself and the holy name. This was never given to the people at any time before. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. And what we're hearing here, when Lord Chaitanya is going here and the crowds are increasing and the enthusiasm is increasing, people they can't wait to go on the boat. They just somehow go into the river and cross the river, you know, swimming and floating in ecstasy. This is the fully experience of what the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That tide of prema is flowing here. And with all of this crowd, I mean, inconceivable number of people are involved here. Eventually, Lord Chaitanya finds it impossible to go to Vrindavan. And he's also advised by Sanatan in a different place. It's not proper to go to Vrindavan with huge crowds like this. And so Lord Chaitanya will say at the end of this chapter. And eventually he goes with one aide to Vrindavan and has his visit there. So this is really what this movement is all about, is that because who are we qualified? You know, when you look at the pastime of Srila Prabhupada, how his whole preaching adventure developed. I reread the Lilamrita recently, and there's so much nectar in there that, you know, be reminded of. It's worth reading again and again every day. And you know, Srila Prabhupada, he worked so hard to do and to fulfill the order of a spiritual master in India. He was a householder, and had the responsibilities. He was meeting those responsibilities, but at the same time, he was serving the Gaudiya Math. He was giving donations, arranging programs. He was preaching. He was writing, and in this way, he was had these two lines of activity. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we were hearing about last Wednesday, he had his judgeship that he was following perfectly, but at the same time, he was practically not sleeping, writing all these books and serving Lord Chaitanya, and eventually he retired. I recently, when I first planned this visit, they told me I was going to speak on Wednesday. So I said, okay, I better bone up on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I read that whole book, that Seventh Goswami book. Just amazing. what he overcame. You know, health issues and the family, you know, destruction and so much opposition and threats and that Bhishikishen adventure. You know, how he courageously faced death, you know. And remember that the climax of that, where his young daughter they put some spell, this crazy yogi, you know, and she couldn't speak, and his wife was begging him, please stop, you know, the disaster will arrive. He says, let us all die. This Bhishikishen must be punished. And then the last day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was attacked with some kind of a pain in it. He couldn't even walk. They carry him on a palanquin and he gives it a judgment. You know, what is that? Bhishikishen. Bhishikishen against Bhishikishen. So, you know, that's an amazing story. So once again, we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he manifested, because he had, you know, this whole pastime of not manifesting his Gaudiya Vaishnav, you know, his eternal identity as Nitya Siddha, until he was able to reach Chaitanya Charitamrita. and he couldn't get one. Now, you want to reach Chaitanya Charitamrita? Oh, we have so many, you can buy one. Oh, I can't afford. Get online. Everybody in the world, right? Vedavase.com. It's available everywhere. But his desire to read it, you know, when he finally got it, it was the impetus for manifesting his who we know as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that very Chaitanya Charitamrita is what we have access to. So this verse, it had Sva Prema Namamitam Ati Udara. Ati Udara. This is so important. That he's extremely munificent. Now just, Prabhupada would enter the word magnanimous, munificent, he would use interchangeably. There's a slight difference in connotation. Magnanimous means especially ready to forgive. And forgive any slight. One is very kind in that way. Munificent is specifically generous, super generous. And Lord Chaitanya was both. Prabhupada called him munificent and magnanimous. So here it is. So munificent. Why? Because he gave the Nijagupta Vittam, the hidden treasure of love for himself and the holy name. The nectar of love for him, Svaprema, and the holy name. And he didn't just parcel it out. Apamaram, from the highest down to the lowest of people, whoever was ready to take it with the price of the you know, your faith, right? Just like Lord Nityananda opened that marketplace of the holy name. Krishna Janemas Tamahambhavami. He is Krishna himself. I offer my obeisances. And the other one I wanted to share with you, this is another verse from the same mood. And this is especially interesting because we're kind of experiencing in these verses that we read in this whole, transcendental madness that develops, that is manifest here en masse in relation to Lord Chaitanya. Yo jnana mattam bhuvanam dayalu ulagayana akadotpamattam sa prema sampat sudayadbutehim shri krishna chenjanyam amam papadye. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has converted all three worlds, which were maddened by ignorance, and saved them from the diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar for the treasure house of love of Godhead. So he's taking the people who are mad after sense gratification and making them mad after Krishna. Let us all take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. So when I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita the first time, and I was working on it in that marathon, you know, back in 75 in L.A., I got the distinct understanding that this is really the mood of this movement, of this ISKCON movement. Prabhupada in the Adi Leela chapter 7, which came out first, before any other chapters, he wanted that separately, the Lord Chaitanya in five features, some of you may remember that. And when you start reading that, it's all about the Panchatattva, and they broke open the storehouse of love of God, and it spread it to everybody, the old and the young. You know, they didn't care who was eligible or not eligible. You know, whoever came in touch with it was transformed. And that's exactly, and in the purports, Prabhupada is talking about preaching in the Western world. You know, and this wonderful purport in Krishna consciousness when it comes to preaching, the men and the women are doing the same kind of work. You know, and to be no criticism from his God brothers. He didn't say it as physically as that, but if you know what he's talking about. So I realized this is what this movement is all about. It's about taking the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as it's being given to us in the parampara, and strictly following, and then experiencing that upsurge of enthusiasm and ultimately love for Krishna that just makes you empowered to do things you could never think possible. And that's, Srila Prabhupada is the perfect illustration of that. He was experiencing that prema at every moment, and he did things that when you look at them objectively, are impossible. To start this movement at age 69, not the greatest of health, no money, no followers, in a strange land, and as Prabhupada said, writing books in my distinctly second language, he uses those words, you know. And yet, the force of his enthusiasm and his dedication and purity, it came out successful, more wonderful. And the fact that he did it in that circumstance makes it more inspiring for us to also to surrender and work. So that's what I'm reading here in this chapter, is that when they finally agree, yes, you can go to Vrindavan. So he's going, but first he's visiting Navadvip. He wants to visit his mother. There's a point here where his mother finally sees him, and it says she's relieved of all of her pain, you know, by seeing Lord Chaitanya again. I don't know if he had come back and seen her before this time. But all of these devotees who, not, you know, every devotee in Bengal could come and every year to see him in Jagannath Puri. They were the most intimate ones. There were plenty, but... So now, they're seeing him again, and they're just mad. They're maddened with love of God. And the crowds are so great. They're knocking down the jungles, and they're crossing the rivers, and, you know. And Lord Chaitanya, at one point, he had to escape. He snuck away, you remember, to go to Koladweep or somewhere, because it became too many. So this is... this is the real force of, you know, masses of devotees chanting and experiencing love of God together. It reminds me of the very first Nagar Sankirtan, when the Kazi was breaking the drums and trying to suppress. Amen? So Lord Jesus said, I will see what kind of Kazi this is. Everybody come out tonight. Bring a torch, you know? And we're going to have a big kirtan, and we're going to head to the Kazi's house, you know. And this was the first time. Otherwise, before then, it was kept within the Shiva Sangan, you know, and the Brahmin couldn't get in. It was a secret because his dancing was so esoteric, you know. So he decided, you know, let's break it out. And when you read about that, everyone was in such ecstasy. It's funny, it's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the details, how the Kazi sent out his soldiers, you know. But when they saw the people, they weren't even seeing them, you know. They tried to hide their beards because they were afraid of this force of thousands and thousands of people. They dropped their, threw their weapons aside and tried to hide their beards so they wouldn't be recognized as the Kazi's men. That's the power of what was going on. And eventually they came to the house. There's two different versions of it in Chaitanya Bhagavat. They actually destroyed the house as far as I can tell. Anyway, there was that conversation in the Kazi. Then was converted. Now here in this chapter, there's a Muslim governor who becomes a complete sold out servant of Lord Chaitanya. Which is like, that's pretty amazing, you know. That he saw there was all of these people with Lord Chaitanya. He wasn't paying them. He wasn't saying it must be, you know, what's the power? And when he came and he saw this force of Lord Chaitanya's prema. Just attracted him, and he surrendered, and he became sold out to Lord Chaitanya. That kind of is what we experienced. You know, what is it that attracts someone to come to Krishna consciousness? Well, there's many things, you know, but it's really the devotees, and of course, Srila Prabhupada, the main devotee, who they're reflecting his enthusiasm, his love, and his care, and his compassion. And people become attracted to that. It's such a desert out there. Everywhere, you know, people are trying to exploit other people. And, you know, the so-called leaders they're demons. I mean, you know, there's no other way to put it. You read the 16th chapter and say, yeah, you check off all of the boxes, and that's what they have. So many wealth, so much wealth do I have today, so much I will have tomorrow. I've killed this enemy, I'll kill the next one, you know? And completely self-aggrandizement. So where do people go for shelter? They're being, from every direction, they're being threatened and exploited, and you know, life is so difficult. So if they meet someone who actually, by their demeanor, by their words and activities, they're obviously trying to help them. This is such a breath of fresh air. That itself is so attractive. It's like water to someone in the desert. And that's how the Lord Chaitanya's mercy is spread, is through one-on-one. It is through the association of devotees, sincere devotees, who are trying their best to extend the compassion and the mercy and the knowledge that has been given to us. That's the essence of the Sankirtan movement. And ultimately, we have faith. You know, we're still at the very beginning of this movement. It's only been a little more than 50 years since, you know, it became a worldwide movement. And it seems inconceivable that these 10,000 years, there'll be a 10,000-year blip in the Kali Yuga, where it'll be Lord Chaitanya's movement and people, you know, be chanting Hare Krishna everywhere. But we've seen already so many miracles. How Srila Prabhupada can work through people who otherwise felt completely unqualified. So we should have faith and try our best to take advantage of the gifts that we've been given and give them to others. And all over the world, you know, people are chanting Hare Krishna, they're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and temples are opening, the TOVP is going up. And so we're very fortunate to be part of this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this idea, you know, sometimes it seems difficult to overcome our, you know, difficulties in our own lives, failing health. We feel, you know, that we've been maybe stagnant for some time in our own devotional service. But the process is always there, and the Sangha is there. You're very fortunate here. Whenever I come here, I'm just overwhelmed with the beauty of the deities. And there's always the temple, there's always wonderful devotees in the temple. They may be a little different devotees. Some of them be here for some time. This is, I think, my 40th visit to this temple. I've been coming twice a year for 20 years, since 2000. I've seen some changes, personal. But it's always a wonderful, ecstatic experience. This is such a oasis, you know, in the desert of this world. And so many beautiful improvements. I watched this, you know, Vyasa-san grow into such a wonderful throne for Srila Prabhupada. You know, obviously from devotion, care, you know, and what to speak of all those years before and after, you know, the installation of Krishna Balaram. Well, these special deities, you know, I have some pictures of them. I look often, you know, the photographs I've taken. And the dressing, the dedication. Yesterday, just to learn about, you know, why they're always dressed in white on the Purnima. Was that clear why that is? I don't know if everyone understands that. That Pran Govinda says, oh, this must be an amazing accident. You know, this is quite, what a coincidence. Because Radha and Krishna wear white on Purnima day so that they can more easily sneak out of the house at night and not be seen, because all that bright moonlight, they can be more easy in disguise. I mean, then we heard, we always dress them in white on Ekadashi, but does he really know the inner reason why they dress on white, not on Ekadashi, on Purnima? Anyway, that these little details, you know, and the wonderful care and all the flowers, and it's... I love coming here, obviously. I'm sorry, I couldn't stay as long this time. Huh? I know. I have to be in Govardhan, New Govardhan, for all these main holidays. That's why I came after Radhasthami. I was here 1 year for Radhasthami experience. It was wonderful, you know, very special. Yes, and so these, you know, Lord Chaitanya's attempt, what's the main theme here is that how he eventually is held back from the overwhelming love and care of all of these devotees. And he does get to go to Kanai Nakashala. Now, Brian, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but is Kanha Natasha where there are various depictions, meaning like paintings or friezes of Lord Krishna's pastimes? Is that a place where you go to, like we have these paintings here? I'm not sure what Kanha Natasha is.
Right next to it, there's a big temple.
Big temple there. Yeah, but is there some special quality of that temple? Is there many depictions of what I have the idea that from the text here that there's you go to see some depictions of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Anyway, you think we can just get online? You just key in pictures of Krishna, and you can have that. What to speak of the books? And you know, we have such an opportunity to take advantage of what Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to develop. And that is the artists and, you know, people, the wonderful books are coming out. I was able to give Bhadra the Krishna Samhita, which I have online. Somehow I got a hold of it. And he's going to integrate that into his parakram that he organizes every year. You know, what the demon, the backstory of the demons and what killing the demons means, all those different things, you know. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. So the treasure house, this is Swaprema Sampat Sudhyadvita, the wonderful nectarian treasure of love for himself and Krishna's giving in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that it obliterates every other artha, every other thing that we could possibly think is valuable in this world is completely eclipsed by the value of that love for Krishna, which is the goal of this process that we're in. And it's available. It's from the highest to the lowest. Certainly I could identify with that part of it. Certainly the lowest. I was raised without any religion at all. You know, I don't know, I didn't like it. This is nothing to be proud of. I was trained as an Orthodox communist. Yes, my father would take the Das Kapital in English from out of the closet. He thought the FBI was after him. And read it to me, 8 years old, at the kitchen table. And this is my faith. This is my... And I would be a little leftist in the eighth grade, So that was my faith, No religion, it was the opiate of the people, But somehow, by the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna, I was there. I lived like two blocks from the temple, in 22nd Avenue in 1968. I'm sorry, I think I was there for the second temple when they moved up the street. And I would see, the devotees would be dancing down St. Mark's Place. Anyone who knows New York, that was the where the hippies all went. And I was, but my brain was like far away from that. But it kind of, it was just part of the whole scene, But I got very ill. I got hepatitis, not C, but B or A or something. I was in the hospital for a month, just when the so-called land, they were staging the so-called moon landing on the TV. I said, oh, that was very impressive. That kind of cheered me up. And when I got out, I needed some way to get my health back. And somehow I had gotten some interest in Ravi Shankar, Eastern music, and so forth. So I got a little book on yoga, on Hatha yoga. I said, this looks like something I could do. So I went into the city. Everything was there in Manhattan. I was on the island. And there I met Amala Bhakta. Wasn't Amala Bhakta then. Now he's, of course, Amala Bhakta Maharaj. But I think he was Shiva Prem Swami. He had his own little yoga studio. And I learned bending and stretching and so many different things. And along with that, we learned a mantra after some time for an advanced class. And you know what the mantra was? Nobody knew what it meant. I don't even know if he knew what it meant. Om abhavitto vas avavastam gato pivas sabdaya. How does it go? Daya pundurikaksham chi ashu chi shri vishnu shri vishnu shri vishnu. I would chant that on my way into the city and back in the city. I'm chanting a mantra. I didn't even know what it was, but it's the name of Krishna in there. So gradually from there, I got into some other yoga studios, and they were touting the glories of the Hare Krishna mantra. It wasn't the devotees. And that I took that as my meditation mantra. So somehow or other, and then, of course, the prasadam. I was a total raw food addict. And juices, and I was always hungry. And so they had what they call fruit rasa. This is, and there's a little picture of Krishna there. It was put out for the Brooklyn Temple. And it would go into all the little health food stores. And it got in the Lower East Side where I lived. And it was basically dates and nuts and things, you know, with a little pea in there, and you know, it was tasty. And of course I became addicted to the fruit rasa. And then one day they didn't have it. So where's the fruit rasa? Said, oh, they didn't deliver. You'll have to go to the temple to get it in Brooklyn. I got the address, and that was my first visit to the temple. There I got a book, Krishna book, you know, like that. So I was drawn in by that, you know. And became attracted. Shravanananda, you know, was one of the first devotees I saw. Gadagraja, he would take me downstairs and feed me and preach to me. You know, so the loving network, Prabhupada describes in 97, you know, of Lord Chaitanya. Someone who's a little receptive, and by the chanting and meditating on Hare Krishna, that helped me a lot. So, you know, we see this, and it's just flowing throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the philosophy is very important, that there has to be that part of it also. The understanding and purifying the intelligence by hearing the Bhagavatam and the Gita, studying, following, and doing exactly what's described. I was just sharing this with some devotees down in bhaktas, new bhaktas in Gainesville last night. You know, in the first canto, second chapter, there's a whole lesson there, beginning with text 6, going through text 21, 22, that Srila Prabhupada would always preach on. Savaipang sang paro dharma yato bhakti rahakshi. He would quote those verses all the time, and especially the last 5. And this is exactly what we experience from the morning program, from the teachings of the Nectar of Devotion. Srinvatam sukata krishna punya shravana kirtana karidyandaksto yabadhani vidanoti suritsatam. And we always remember, Lord Chaitanya came to teach the truth of the Bhagavatam, to fulfill the Bhagavatam. He regarded the Bhagavatam as the perfect commentary in Vedanta Sutra. He didn't need to write one, and we didn't need one in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. One was eventually written by Baladeva, you know, of course, the Govinda Bhasha. But what is this said here? Once you attain some taste for hearing and chanting, that's what all it leads up to. What's the main way to do it? By serving the spiritual master. Vasudeva Kataruchi is the taste for hearing and chanting about Vasudeva Krishna. So with that taste, and then you're hearing Hare Krishna mantra and CC and all the other wonderful vibrations, Krishna within the heart, he cleanses away the abhadras, the unwanted things, the lust, the anger, the greed, the illusion, all of your things that stop you from being Krishna conscious. He's cleansing. And then the verse that's often chanted before the Bhagavatam class, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Seveya, Bhagavatittama Shroke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. So when that, I listen to Prabhupada's lectures on these verses a lot, again and again. Prabhupada says maybe 75% clear. Prayeshu means almost pure. It's not, you're not pure yet, but you're getting there. Nityam Bhagavata Seveya, by, as Prabhupada immortally said, regular attendance and classes on Srimad Bhagavatam, and by serving the pure devotee, the two Bhagavats. Prabhupada points out in the lecture, notice it doesn't say Bhagavan. Not by serving Bhagavan, but by serving the Bhagavats, by serving the devotees of Bhagavan, the Mahabhagavat, and the Bhagavatam itself. How do you serve the Bhagavatam? Hearing, repeating, studying, you know, and following. So by doing those things, almost the abhadras, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, they're cleansed away almost to nil, and one's fixed in goodness and in devotional service. Naishtiki. This is the nishta in that those verses by Rupa Goswami. The ladder from faith to praying, from faith to love. So what's the result of that? That the modes of passion and ignorance are eliminated. You're up in the mode of goodness or pure goodness. And along with passion and ignorance, the lust, the anger are also diminished, and they're not controlling you anymore. Cheta eta anavidhaya, not affected anymore. Cheta eta anavidhaya, sitam sattve prasidati, one's fixed in goodness. And then, evam prasanna manaso, bhagavad bhakti yogataha, bhagavad tatta vijnanam, mukta sangasya jayate. That then one becomes naturally joyful. This is such a wonderful part of Krishna consciousness, to learn that our natural state is to be anandis, to be full of bliss, because that's who we are. Lord Krishna is anandamayo bhyasa, Vedanta Sutra, by nature, full of bliss, and we know this by his activities and his character and pastimes, you can see. And since we're part and parcel of Krishna, that's our natural state. Isn't that good news? That's the gospel? And so, this is what it says here, prasanna manaso, the mind becomes naturally joyful in this state, being Krishna conscious. Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, by practicing Bhagavad Bhakti. Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, and then you get realization, direct experience. This is Vijnana, probably with scientific knowledge. There's no question of faith anymore, you're having direct experiences. Mukta Sangha Sajayate, completely liberated from any entanglement or attachment in this material world. And then the final verse, he describes the state. Bidyate Vridya Grantish. Who can say what that means? Bidyate Vridya Grantish. Pran.
Poking the heart, knots of the heart.
Cutting them asunder. The heart, the knots in the heart. I mean you're not attached to any material thing in the world anymore. Chidyate Sarva Sanshaya. All of your doubts are completely destroyed because you have direct experience. And then the last one, Chiyante Chasikarmani Drishta Evatmani Shure. So what he's saying there is that all in this state, all of one's knots in the heart are cut asunder, all of one's doubts are completely eradicated, and with the termination of one's karma, one sees oneself and one's master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, you understand your sarup and you get a vision of Krishna in the heart. That's the meaning of that last verse. And Prabhupada says, right in the first sentence of the purport, seeing one, having direct experience of oneself means seeing the Supreme Lord simultaneously. Actually, he says, seeing the Lord means simultaneously seeing one's own self. In other words, you're getting a vision of your sarup siddhi, and you're situated in your... That's the whole process is right there in the second chapter. And I often wondered, yeah, the speakers of the Bhagavatam, they understand, what Vyasadeva understood. These Kali Yugites, 18,000 verses, 12 canos, even if they just get through two chapters, they can get the complete lesson right here. You know how it is? And there's a lot of sections in Bhagavatam like that, where you just study this section and you have the complete lesson. Kapila Devas, for one. So, this is our legacy. This is what Srila Prabhupada came to teach. Of course, his purports are exquisite. Lectures, we put it together in a book called Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. And, you know, it hasn't been distributed that much in America, though somewhat, but in India, it's very much. So this is what we're witnessing here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pinnacle of all of the literatures. And it's just this flow of ecstasy, and also all of this knowledge. We get in chapter 20 when he starts teaching Sanatana Goswami, we had in chapter 19 with the teaching Sarupa. The CC has the ultimate in expression of love of Godhead. We have beautiful verses, Radha and Krishna, they have a wonderful taste. I remember when we were producing this book back in 75, you remember Santosh, our main Sanskrit editor at that time. He had an office. I walked into his office. It was all white. You know, it was like, oh, this pristine. And he says, come here, do it. I want to show you the first chapter of the Anta Lila. And it was full with all of these incredible verses. You know, Rupa Goswami's in Puri with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, knows everything. He knows he's writing these two plays. You know, he actually mentioned them. You should separate Krishna Lila in Vrindavan and those in Dwarka. First he was going to write a play about all of Krishna Lila. And then he had a dream. Satyabhama came to him. So you should write a separate play about my pastimes in Dwarka. You know, separate them. So I said, oh, okay. So he started doing that. When he got to Puri, and Lord Chaitanya confirmed that, he also said that it should be. So they want, you know, he visited Rupa every day, and he said, what kind of play are you writing? And he was very shy to show him. So then he brings the most intimate devotees, Ramananda Roy and Subhadamadar, Sarvabhauma, and others, Haridas, to hear about the play. And so we get this little taste. Finally, they induce him to speak, and he chants this verse, Anarpita Charim Charat, Karamayavati Anarkalo. That's part of Adagda Manava. It's also included at the beginning of the CC. And it's all about how Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself come to give what hasn't given before for a long time, pure love at the highest levels of Madhurya Rasa. So Lord Chaitanya said, why have you put this, you know, drop of alkali into your nectarian ocean of slokas? And Supadama and Ramana said, no, that's not a drop of alkali. That is a little drop of camphor, you know, to make it even more sweet, you know, because it glorifies Lord Chaitanya as Krishna. He didn't like to hear that. You know, Krishna himself has come as Lord Chaitanya to teach what hasn't been taught before. So Lord Chaitanya would block his ears, you know, glorifying his Vishnu. So then it goes on, describing the flute, describing Vrindavan, and beautiful verses, you know, in each one of them. And I was just enthralled with this. You know, this hadn't come out yet. It was still in manuscript form. So this is what the Chaitanya Charitamrita is. It's, as Prabhupada says on the way over, the Jaladuta, I'm reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's my only solace. You know, he had a couple of heart attacks and nausea, all of the different things, facing who knows what when he gets to America. He's taking solace in this very book that we're reading. So we can also find so much enlivenment eternally in these this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one of them is in this wonderful chapter 16, describing Lord Chaitanya's attempt to go to Vrindavan and how his devotees basically stopped him, either by joining in mass to glorify him, make it, you know, or just through their fear of separation. So in this way, we can imbibe even a fraction of the mood and nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita and progress nicely in devotional service. I'm sorry, it's already 9 o'clock. Is it too late to ask for any comments or questions? Prime Govinda. And then Ragatmaka.
So Driste Eva Atmani Ishvare.
I'm sorry?
Driste, the verse that you quote, Vidyate Hridaye Granthe Chinnante Sarva Sanshaya, Shiyante Chasya Karmani, Driste Eva Atmani Ishvare. So when the chain of fruitive action is terminated. One sees self as a...
One sees not as the master, and the master.
But that's not the... You edited that?
That's the way... You go back to the original Delhi Bhagavatam, Prabhupada never says one sees oneself as the master.
But that's how I did. I think I can still find some...
No, but I'm talking about the original Bhagavatam. This is the first canto.
Yeah.
Prabhupada never said one sees oneself as the master, the supreme master.
What does he say?
He says the chain of karma is terminated with the seeing of oneself, the dominating factor. There's no comma in there. There's no as in there. It's just a space. And sometimes words were left out. And the word that was left out was and.
But it said Ishvara.
Ishvara, the dominating factor. This is what Prabhupada's definition there. Ishvara is Krishna, you know, we're not the dominating factor. That means we're God. One sees oneself as the dominating factor. If you wanted the details how this came about, figure this out, I can show you. But that's exactly... oftentimes you have to read the purport to find out exactly what... And the very first sentence is, with the direct experience or the scientific experience, he's going back to the previous verse, of the Lord, one sees oneself simultaneously.
Yes.
That's the first sentence of the purport, which is exactly what Prabhupada is saying in the verse. And then later on, he says, one sees one's master. Right in the purport, it's the last chapter, last paragraph. One sees one's master. Right there in the purport. So that dominating factor is an unusual definition of Ishvara, but that's Krishna. He's dominating everything. And we see what we see, the self, small as self. When you say one self, that's not the super self. That's your soul. Anyway, I don't want to get...
Okay, one more. On the prior show, you said 75% Prabhupada said that?
He says...
Not to prior show.
He says it in a lecture.
Really?
He says, say 75%. In other words...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Say 75%.
Yeah, yeah.
Then what happened the rest 25% of
no,
my
that
heart?
No, until you continue purifying. In other words, purification goes on, but even at 75%, you can become fixed in devotion and very regulated, you know, nishtha. Like that. That's what he said in that lecture. Ragatmigo, give her a chance. Another veteran of the... marathon. Seven books.
Thanks to Srila Prabhupada's mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you spoke of Lord Chaitanya's magnanimity and that he distributed his confidential treasury to all. The other night, Bhaktivinoda Swami gave a little insight on the meaning of that, appreciation of that. He said, in one's home in India, you know, they have this Elmira or a big chest.
Yeah.
And you open it up and there's a locked portion in there, a locked door.
Uh-huh.
And then you open up that door and there's another locked door. And you open up that one and there's another locked door. And in that most remote locked door is where they keep their diamonds and jewels and gold.
Right.
That they pull out only maybe once a year for a special occasion to put on. And when they get home, they immediately put it back in there and
lock up.
So no one sees that. No one knows of that treasure, confidential treasury people hold. But so this is compared to Krishna Prema that Lord Chaitanya came to distribute. He just opened up his confidential treasury and just distributed it without considering who's a fit candidate and who is not.
Yeah, that's the in the beginning of the chapter 7.
Yeah.
Panchatattva plundered the treasury and gave it out to everyone, not caring who is eligible, who is not. And Rudy says, well, okay, that's why we're chanting Hare Krishna here on Henry Street, you know, because we're far away from any, you know, ordinary recipient. Okay, we have another comment?
Just a quick question.
Sure, sugar.
I was curious if your parents ever had a change of heart, heart attack, like how did they respond?
Well, my mother was very favorable, you know, because I think this is traditional. Tell me if I'm wrong, because I never had children. And that is that the mother basically wants to know, are you healthy and are you happy? The father wants to know, you know, what are you doing? What's your career? You know, when are you coming out of that thing? I remember asking my father would always ask me that when I'd see him, even on his, you know, his deathbed practically. When are you coming out of that thing? But my mother, she became a subscriber to BTG, and she far out of my father. He passed away in 87. She lived to 96. He was only 81, and so as whenever I visit her, of course I'd share. We do Hare Krishna. So this is the last days she's in hospice at my brother's house, and I visited in Ithaca. This was in 2006, I think. And so he went to visit my nephews in Chicago. So I'm with my mother. So, Mom, it's time for japa. And she, at that point, she was completely surrendered. She said, okay. And so she couldn't do the whole mantra, you know, but we did, you know, phrase at a time. I said, Hare Krishna. And she would chant perfect pronunciation, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. And we went on for maybe 10 minutes like that. I have it on tape.
That's nice.
And I was, you know, reading to her and everything. And so that was just a few weeks before she passed. And before that, you know, I'd come and I'd play Prabhupada's tapes and we'd get up and we'd dance to Hare Krishna like that. So she, you know, came along. She was in the best I could do for her, you know, at distance. And my father, you know, he did what he did. The thing is, he had a good heart. He was organizing in the 30s, the labor movement in New York, you know. And after, this, I'll end with this. You know, when I had a job in a hospital as an inhalation therapist. And I was doing yoga and chanting Hare Krishna. So in my foolish way, I would try to project the mantra and try to cure the people, you know. And so, when I became a devotee, before I became a devotee, my father had a stroke. He was only 62. He'd smoked and drunk, not heavy, but all his life, so he had high blood pressure. So he was in a hospital right near where I was staying, not where I worked, which was a commute. And so I tried my little technique. I said, well, it can't hurt. So I was all alone with him in the room there. The doctor said there's very little hope he's going to survive. You know, he wasn't speaking, he was lying on the bed. So I put my hand on his forehead, and I'm standing there, within my mind, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, I'm trying to project, you know. Okay, so 5-6 minutes, the nurse comes in, I leave. He didn't jump off out of the bed, but he did recover, and he lived 18 more years, had a whole career, met the governor and everything, and he was just trying to work for the benefit of the seniors, you know. In other words, his motive, although he was a communist, he wasn't a Stalinist, you know, and he was he was trying to help others, and that was the general mood. My mother was like that, so that was all glory to the Papa.
Did you
I'm sorry?
Did your father get
oh, of course. Yeah, well, I would always be Prasad. Oh,